Hey, today we are doing Bava Kamma, and it puts us one day ahead because we're scheduled. I doubled up earlier, but I see we have to make up Nedarim because Nedarim did not get taped somehow. So I'm going to do Bava Kamma today, and I'll leave some time for Nedarim, and then I see that Moy Cotton also didn't get on, so I'm going to do that as well. Please God, on Thursday. Okay, so the Maseches Bava Kamma has 10 chapters. There are a few Gemaras within Bava Kamma, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra that indicate that all three of these gates, Bava Kamma means first gate, Bava Metzia means middle gate, Bava Basra means final gate, are actually one long Masechta. Maybe when we get up to Bava Basra, I'll tell you what that means or what's the difference. Okay, the first thing when it comes to interpersonal laws is cause no damage. So Bava Kamma is about tort law, about how we refrain from doing damages. And the first Mishnah, very first Mishnah, talks about Arba Avos Nezikim and the four basic headlines of how we determine how damages are done. There are different opinions in the Gemara how this works in different orders. Basically, it involves whatever you own. Whatever you own, yourself, whatever you do, your animals, your property, the fires you set, the pits you dig. What's interesting is that most of these laws are taken from Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Ki Tzetze. And every single law that appears here has a parallel in ancient Near Eastern civilization. It's understandable. There's a mitzvah b'nei Noach. They also had dinim, right? The Noahides, one of their seven laws is to have justice in where you live. So everybody has oxen that gore and pits that are dug where someone falls in and damages. And so they're parallel, but their law is to have an orderly society. Our law is to perfect human beings, to have good human beings. It's not, their law is not for morality. The gods they worshipped, excuse me, weren't necessarily moral in nature. We see by their own depictions of the gods. So the purpose of their law was to have an orderly society so the god can make them successful in their next crop, in their next war. Okay, so these are the four headings that are found in the first Mishnah, although there are different opinions later in the Gemara. Some even say they're not four, but there are nine or 24 different headings of Nezikin. Be that as it may, shor bor mave behever, which means what the damages your animal causes. And we understand that animals are generally depends on the type of animal. If you have a pet tiger, you have to be more careful with the damage it may cause. And if you have a pet snake, you have to be very careful with how you take it around. All right, so that is the more dangerous the animal may be, the more you have to be careful. All right, so the things that are ragil, the things that are generally that you have to expect. All right, so if they're just ragil, just that, you know, an animal walks. So the animal walks in the public square. So it's if it does damage while walking, it may be different than that's something you have to be careful with. You know, the animal is walking, but the animal gores. My ox is a very calm animal. Maybe something ticked him off. So there, the damages are only half, not full damages. Okay. So, and then shor bor is damage that you do that's left behind that doesn't have any movability to it or a mind of its own. That could be broken glass. It could be nails that you leave in the street when someone gets a flat tire. The classic case is you dig a pit and someone falls in. And then there's hever, which is where you light a fire and the fire does move from place to place. Right? The nails can move also if someone kicks them to a different place. You know, I left it in a safe place, but someone else kicked them to the middle of the street. So that is, there's also something called chati nezek truros, where you kick something, right? You kick pebbles and the pebbles does the damage, right? Not the leg of the animal, but the animal kicks something and then that causes damage. So these are all dealt with in Maseches Bava Kamma. And that's the second parak talks about things that are done in a more natural way, like animals eat, animals walk, right? Not every animal gores, not any animal bites, but animals do, you know, you have to be more careful with things that they normally do. Okay, that's the second parak. The third parak is where you leave something in the public square, amaniyach es hakad, leave a jug someplace and someone just, treads over it. Different opinions in the Gemara, who has to be more careful for those things, the mazik or the nizak. You know, logic tells us that the mazik has to be more careful, the one who owns the thing. But also when you're walking in the street and you're looking in your phone and taking emails while you're walking, you know, that person bears some responsibility too. We've seen that pedestrian accidents have skyrocketed with the invention of the iPhone. So everyone's on their iPhone while they're walking and they're driving. And so you have to, you know, the third parak talks about the obligation of the person to avoid danger. Okay. The fourth chapter talks about the four and five fold payments for stealing sheep or oxen and punishments for any the fines for animals that gore in a usual way or in an unusual way, what's considered usual and unusual. When an ox is warned, the owner of an ox is warned three times that he did something, or a dog, bit three times, then, you know, that owner is much greater responsibility, right? You should know better than to walk around with a dog like that. Okay, the dog is treated very much in this Masechta about not owning a dangerous dog or anything of that sort. Okay, the next one is where an ox gores a cow, and then there is a dead fetus nearby. The owner of the ox says that fetus was aborted before my ox gored your cow. I agree, it gored a cow, and the owner of the cow says no, the ox gored my pregnant cow and caused the fetus to be aborted, and I want you to pay not only for the cow but for the fetus as well. Here is there's a doubt of what to do. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah says he pays for half. It's Mamon Hamutav L'Safek Yachloku. Okay. Next talks about where you put your animals behind a pen and in a way that should have guarded them, but then they escaped because of someone else who breached the pen. And how do you deal with the damage you caused that was shared by someone else? Okay. The next chapter is called Perak Merubah, which is really the one that's studied most often in the yeshiva world, the seventh chapter of Maseches Bava Kamma, which talks about all of the punishments for stealing sheep, and stealing oxen, where you pay four and fivefold, and all the different rules of Ganav and Gazlan, and someone who steals violently, someone who steals without the person knowing. In general, the Ganav pays double for his damages because the Gemara says because he's afraid of God, he's afraid of man but not of God. The Gazlan doesn't fear anybody. Also, the Ganav, when he steals, the person who lost his object doesn't even know he lost it. He doesn't know to cancel his credit cards. He doesn't know to get a new license. He thinks he still has the stuff. Maybe it's behind the couch. Maybe he's going to look for it. Right. The Gazlan is more violent, no doubt. But anyway, that's the seventh parak. The eighth parak is on physical damages. If someone hits somebody and causes a broken arm and things like that, it's called parak achovel. And although in the Torah it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, according to the halacha, we only pay for those things. There's no lex talionis when it comes to damages. But there is lex talionis when it comes to a life. Right, and we switch over with ancient cuneiform law, is that in the ancient world, practically all monetary damages were lex talionis. That's a Latin word that means what you did to the other shall be done to you. And murder, you can always buy off. Even in the Arab world today, if someone commits murder and he admits it, the family can sue and say, if you give me $1 million, then I'll tell the judge not to have you killed. Right, it's not in the Torah. The ninth and tenth chapter talks about stealing something and then building it into something else. You steal wood from somebody and you build it into a home. Do you have to knock down the home or do you pay for the wood? Things like that. Or the tenth parak where you steal something and you give it to somebody else, and how do you end up paying for things that you stole? The very end of Bava Kamma There's a beautiful, heartwarming piece of Gemara that talks about when a carpenter or a contractor does work and he shaves the bottom of the door, who owns those shavings? Who owns the little threads at the end of a garment that was commissioned for someone, or the end of a carpet that's cut? You know, who owns those shavings? The contractor usually throws them out. No, you cannot assume anything when it comes to dini mamonos, and you have to only throw them out if the owner of the property, maybe he wants those shavings for fuel or something. So it shows how much Bava Kamma is interested that the chas v'shalom, we shouldn't be even taking a penny from somebody else, you know, where we don't have the right to. Okay, so it's a beautiful ending to the Masechta, and that is the conclusion of Bava Kamma, where we'll be doing Bava Metzia next time, please God. And I think we'll also I'll double up on the Darim because we've got a little late start today, and that's what I'll do in Yitz Hashem on Thursday. Have a great day, everybody, and Kol Beseder, everything is wonderful, and all the best. Bye-bye.